Right now, one of the best in the business, host of the Doug Gottlieb Show on CBS Sports Network and NCAA basketball analyst. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning from snowy New York City.
Well, no school today, huh? Yeah.
That's why Doug's on.
Here's what sucks, though. I would totally be out sledding with my kids. But my radio show emanates from the heart of the city. And my boss is like, dude, I don't know if you're going to get in. So we all went out and got tanked. And we're staying in the city because I live about an hour outside the city. So some mass transit might shut down in the afternoon when I usually come in. So better safe than sorry. But it takes away an awesome day of like sledding, snowball fights, movie watching. I finally got my 10-year-old. I have twin 10-year-old daughters, and one is like my movie watching buddy. And for whatever reason, I couldn't get her to watch Indiana Jones, and Raiders of the Lost Ark. And she lost a bet to me, and so I she was supposed to watch next snow day. She was supposed to watch the movie, and yeah, now I'm stuck in a hotel.
Okay, but here's what you do: you podcast this show, right, and run it on a loop. And they'll never notice. They'll never notice. All right.
Listen, I would gladly do it in my PJs, have an ISDN line for my house, whatever. It's on TV for however long today. And we all said like, hey, let's just go record a show. I can go record 5 hours last night. I was a little liquored up, but I was like, I'll go record 5 hours, run whatever you want, and then we'll just all go home and enjoy our kids. But no.
Obviously, in honor of March Madness, we've got Villanova, Gonzaga, Kansas, and North Carolina. Do you have any problem with any of the number ones?
I mean, I would have, personally, I would have probably put Duke as a one. I also would have considered UCLA as a one seed instead of Gonzaga. But, I mean, not really. I mean, like, look, once you get to, like, Tuesday, most people will stop bitching and complaining. They're like, whatever. We got the tournament. Just win games, right? So, it's a weird thing that we do where we sit and complain about the number next to your name. It does help to be a one seed, and here's why: a one seed has never lost in the first round. So, it makes it essentially a bye. You still have to play the game, but the there's so many more teams now. You guys know there's like 350. Four Division Ones,
it's
ridiculous. So the point is that whereas the one seeds are still the four, four of maybe five or six best teams in the country, the bottom can be much further down, a much lower level of competition than previously. So the likelihood of an upset is not strong. So the one seed does matter. That after that, it's like, hey, just play basketball. And whoever wins four games goes to the Final Four. Whoever wins six wins the national championship. What it feels like they did, fellas, is they went kind of strictly by their metrics, where you combined all these different metrics and spit it out. And I think that lacks the human factor. And the best example of that is Duke and North Carolina, where Duke wasn't healthy most of the season. They had three spectacular freshmen, one of which I believe will be and maybe the top pick in the NBA draft, but probably a top three pick in the NBA draft. And by the time they got healthy, Mike Krzyzewski, then their head coach, took some time away because he had a back problem. He had surgery. They also lost Grayson Allen for a little bit for a game, and he was on and off the floor because he tripped a kid and he's had some attitude problems, whatever. Once they got whole, once they had all their pieces, they developed into arguably the best team in the country. And the last, week of the season, they played a tournament. They beat North Carolina, beat Louisville, who's a two seed, beat Notre Dame, who's a four seed, and they won the ACC tournament. And like a blind man could see, like, wow, they're really, really good. So I think if you go by the metrics, yeah, you put any of those teams up there. But if you go by reality, Duke played a tougher schedule, and once whole, they just look the part of one of the four best teams in the country. And fortunately or unfortunately, those guys went by the book. That was their decision. And I think every decision they made, you could say, like, I could point out this team shouldn't have been in, or this team is too high, or whatever. There's one other group of teams that kind of screwed them up, but I think they went by the book. The other thing that happened, and I don't know if you guys pay attention to the Big East Conference, which is not the old Big East, it's new. They had three or four really good teams. Villanova, the defending national champion, and then Creighton.
Yeah.
and Xavier. Well, Creighton and Xavier both lost their point guards midway through the season. And so, and they floundered afterwards. Well, one, other teams below them benefited from that, beat them after those players were hurt. And, you know, the way in which they do the numbers, it's like by proxy wins. Like, well, you beat somebody and I beat you, so I must be more, you know, it's like the transitive property. And so they really didn't know where to put the Big East teams, and so they did it by the numbers. In reality, the Big East teams should be much seated much lower, and some of the Big Ten teams and Wichita State should be seated higher. So that's, I think, the flaw of the system.
Doug Gottlieb, our guest, CBS Sports, former Oklahoma State Cowboy as well. I worked in Detroit for 9 years, and when I worked there, they added that 65th team. And people, that was sports radio fodder, right? Is that the right number? What's going on? Have you compromised the tournament? Now 68. I feel like there's less debate about it now, but people used to throw food at each other about this Tuesday night game in Dayton. How do you view it? Are we settled in on 68, that the we got all these 16-seed games and then the 11-seed games as well?
We still haven't figured it out, you know? We just haven't. Like, look, what we should use those games for, or what the NCAA, if the NCAA is really, really smart, is use those games for big school versus little school, right? It's fine. Like, Illinois State didn't get in. Syracuse didn't get in. Like, how are they not playing in the play-in game? Because it's an impossible thing to try and judge. Like, Illinois State, it dominates the Missouri Valley Conference. They finished 17-1 in the Missouri Valley, but they lose to Wichita State, who also finished 17-1 in the championship game. And so, you know, here's a team won 27 games against the Syracuse team that ends up with 14 losses. But common sense would tell you Syracuse has better players, so they must have a better team. Well, the only way to decide it is to play on the floor. So you use that game for those two for the ultimate playing game. They still have games sort of like that, Kansas State versus Wake Forest, or USC versus Providence. But it still misses what should be the real idea of the play-in game, which is give me a high major school versus a lower mid major school. Lower mid major school has, you know, he has an incredible season, but loses in their championship game, and the high major school kind of flounders all season long. Play those two, and I think America would be way more into it. But for whatever reason, again, they just go by the numbers. Like, hey, these are the last two teams on the scale. We're going to throw them in together, and those are the games we got.
With Doug Gottlieb, NCAA basketball analyst and host of the Doug Gottlieb Show on CBS Sports Network. Give us a couple of names that people don't know about that they'll be talking about before this tournament's over.
I think the biggest name that a lot of people are discussing is Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball's a freshman guard at UCLA. He's from Southern California. His high school team last year had two of his other brothers on it. They would score over 100 points a game. And like one of his brothers, his little brother scored 92 points in a game this year where he cherry picked. He didn't play defense, but they did win like the mythical national championship in high school basketball last year. And UCLA, historically great program, was 15-17 last year. This year they've only lost, I think, four games. He's like a Jason Kidd type of point guard. He has a funky looking jump shot, but it does go in. And he's 6'6", kind of long, angular kid who can really make passes, can make plays at the rim as well. But he's maybe more known for the fact that his dad is just all kinds of craziness, right? Mm-hmm. It would be like if Chris Kardashian spent all day watching Stephen A. Smith and just embodied the hot take, right? He's you know, he just said yesterday that he could have beaten Michael Jordan one-on-one and that his boys will change the world and that he wants a $1 billion TV deal for his whole, sneaker deal for his whole family.
So he's shy is what you're...
He's shy. He said his son is better than Steph Curry right now.
Yes.
it's all kinds of crazy. And whereas the kid is like soft-spoken, nice kid, just making plays, whatever, but the dad's crazy. So Lonzo Ball is a big talking point. Jason Tatum out of Duke. He is a power forward, small forward, power forward, 6'8", maybe 6'9". Just a magnificent athlete, and he can shoot, he can dunk, he can play. And he, like we said, wasn't healthy to start the year. Now that he is healthy, has started to really dominate college basketball. For Villanova, the defending national champions, Jalen Brunson as their point guard. Remember last year they had Ryan Arcidiacono, and Brunson was kind of his Robin. They have Josh Hart back, but Brunson is really more the straw that stirs the drink. His dad was a longtime Rick Brunson, longtime NBA player, Jalen's one of those kids where he plays almost like a 50-year-old man, like not fast, but he just gets a lot of things done. Seems to always be in the right place, right time, and make the big shot. And then I'll throw a Canadian in there. We talked about him last year, guys. Dylan Brooks from Oregon is having an incredible season. He's hurt to start the year. But there were some questions about, you know, is he athletic enough to play at the next level? Boy, he's taking his game to a completely higher level. And Oregon is they lost their point guard, excuse me, lost their center, Chris Boucher, another Canadian from Quebec. But he just tore his ACL, so that's one reason they got kind of knocked down a notch. But Dylan Brooks he's about a 6'6", 3'4" man, and he's just a scoring machine for the Ducks.
Thank you, Doug.
I got one more for you.
All right.
Lauri Markkanen. He's from Finland. He's a freshman. He's 6'11". He's like a Kristaps Porzingis type, and he plays for Arizona. Anyway, and by the way, I saw the Raps play the Knicks about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And look, I've covered this thing a long time. I grew up in Los Angeles. I had no idea DeMar was going to be this good.